Blog Talk Radio.
Tiffany Thompson is the founder and CEO of It's All About You Ministry International, located in Chicago, Illinois. She was born and raised on the west side of Chicago. Anointed by the Lord Jesus Christ, she is gifted to reach people of various backgrounds and nationalities. She is a minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ with a strong prophetic call on her life. It's All About You Ministry was given to her by way of the Holy Spirit in January 2005 from out of her home. She has touched the lives of many, whether in local churches, street corners, or workplace. Her ultimate goal is to advance the kingdom of God. She is an entrepreneur, writer, poet, and motivational speaker, all for the kingdom of God. Tiffany Thompson has received a certificate from the Samuel School of Prophets under the instructor, Apostle Raphael Robinson, CEO, founder of Word Kingdom. And now, without further ado, here's Miss Tiffany Thompson.
Amen. Hi, how you doing tonight?
I'm great. I'm living. How you feeling?
I'm feeling good. I thank you. Thank you for the applause every time. I thank you for that applause.
Yeah, you deserve it.
Thank God for you.
Amen.
Amen.
So,
how you
know,
doing?
I've been good. The thing is, how you been feeling?
I'm better.
People want to know.
Yeah, I'm better. Last week I wasn't feeling good, so I had to go to the hospital and, you know, make sure I was straight. But yeah, sorry you all. I didn't really want to, you know, make no big thing about it and make no announcement and postings or so forth. I just wanted to go ahead and get well and rest, you know, get my rest and my proper rest and be back on. I really hated to miss the show last week. I really did. But, you know, when your body saying one thing, you know, you gotta obey your body. You got to get the rest that you need.
That's right.
Yep. Yeah, gotta get the rest. Yep.
Yeah.
I'm revived today.
That's right. Yeah, we're here.
I'm revived and back on and ready for the Lord to do with it, He do, and let Him have His way. You know, let Him have His way. It's been some, man, it's been rough. Yes, it's been a little rough, but He pulls us through every time. Every time He pulls us through. So I'm grateful for that, you know. I'm very grateful. Very grateful. I'm grateful also for the listeners, those that faithfully tune in and those that are newcomers that are tuning in. You know, I'm grateful for you all. Without you, there's no me. You know, and there's no talk show. So I'm glad, you know, that I'm glad that they trust the God in me. And everything, you know, that we talk about, we try to make sure at all times it's lined up, you know, with the Word. So you got to trust me, but trust the Word. Amen.
Amen.
Yep.
Well, speaking of the Word, you know, I know we always try to do a recap, so we're gonna bypass the recap because we already know what was last week. We had a double take of that. So,
Yeah. These
topics that you're coming up with here, what made you come up with this?
Well, which one? The one for tonight?
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, okay. Well, when I kind of just read the scriptures and I look at, I kind of go by my life. I don't too much, you know, measure with anyone else's life because I know more about me than I do the next person. So when I read the scriptures and I relate it to myself, it may be something that I have went through, something that I may be going through, you know, and it seems like that word, you know, it lines up and it straightens that thing out that may be that may have me a little confused about what I'm going through, you know. And then when I read the word, that kind of grabbed my attention and let me know this is what's happening with your life, this is what you're feeling, this is what you're going through. And, you know, so sometimes it's like when you, even when you're going through, as long as you know God is with you, you know, your hand is in his hand, and what he got you going through is in the word, you go through a little easier. You know, it's not that hard, you know, because you know you trust God. It's not anybody else. So what I'm going through, lining up with his word, you know, and he gives me revelation out of it, it's like, wow, I got to share this. I got to share it because I know that I'm not the only one that may be going through this, you know, and I'm hoping that someone, you know, can get this word and it'll help them along the way, you know. It'll help them with their right now, their today, their tomorrow, you know. It'll take them a little further, you know, day by day, week by week. So that's why, you know, I committed to dedicate myself to doing this. Even when I'm weary myself, you know, even when I'm tired, even when it's times my flesh, you know, don't want to do it. But then you think about you laying your life down for somebody else, you know, so you put, when your flesh don't want to do it, you say, okay, flesh, get out the way. I'll obey you, you know. I don't have to do what you say, because this word got to be for somebody if you don't want me to say it. You don't want me to talk about it. So, yeah. So that's how I come up with it. You know, you better believe it be things I experienced myself.
That's right.
It be things that I experienced myself. Like the last show, we talked about stinking thinking. You know, I had to deal with my own thoughts. I still deal with my own thoughts. But then the word of God said, cast it down. If it's not lining up with him, if it's not lining up with the word, it's not holy, it's not pure, it's not righteous. You know, if I'm not thinking the right things, the Bible says to cast it down. And the first thing that fell in my spirit was thinking. Because apparently it's not smelling good in the nostril of God. So that's how I get my topics.
Okay.
Yeah. So that's how I get the topics. Thinking.
Well, hey, you know what? That's a beautiful thing. You know, so you gotta get it down in the belly so you can release it. You know, all the way in that spirit.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what it is, people out there in the world. Now y'all know how Tiffany Thompson gets her visions. So how you want to do this? You want to go to a commercial? Are you ready? You want to pray it out?
Okay, well, we always start off with a prayer. And that's what I like to do. I want to do nothing without God. So I put him first.
Amen.
You know, so that he can have his way and not me. But I can't do nothing without him. So we're just going to believe God to take over the show tonight. Okay? So if anybody's listening with me and those that are listening, I just want you all to agree with me in prayer as we go before the throne of grace. You know, approaching God and asking him to come on in and do what it is he do.
Amen.
And that's deliver. Amen. So, Father God, we just want to say thank you today. Lord, we want to say thank you. And we ask, Father, right now for forgiveness of any and all sins, Father, knowingly and not knowingly, seen and unseen, God. We ask, Father, that you create in us of clean hands and a pure heart, Father. In the mighty name of Jesus, Lord. Father, most of all, we ask, Father, that you open our ears, our eyes, our heart, and our mind, Father, to receive, God, what it is that you have for us on tonight, God. In the name of Jesus, Lord, you said to seek first your kingdom, God, and all your righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto us. So, Father, whatever the things are that we are looking for on tonight, Father, that we are believing you for, God, that we are searching for, Father, in the name of Jesus, Father, we come to the throne, God. We come to the throne of grace, Father, asking, Father, in the name of Jesus, Father, that, Lord, you said these things shall be added unto us, Father. And so, Father, we thank you for being a God of addition, Father, a God that multiplies, Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, a God that's more than enough, God. And so, Father, you said you would supply all our needs according to your riches and glory in Christ Jesus. And so, Father, we thank you, Father, for supplying our needs, Father. Enlarge our territory, Father, in the name of Jesus, Father. Broaden our horizon, God. Take us higher in you, Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord. For deliverance come, Father, that we may go higher, Father. It gives us a new revelation. It gives us a different outlook on life. It gives us a different outlook on people, God. It gives us a different outlook on every situation, every circumstance, Father, in the mighty name of Jesus. So, Father, bring deliverance right now, God, in the name of Jesus. And, God, we thank you for it. We thank you, God. We thank you even now, God, for every soul being delivered, every mind being renewed, Father, in the name of Jesus, Father, every heart being fixed, Father, for you are a mind regulator and a heart fixer, Father, in the name of Jesus. And Father, we decree and declare that on tonight, Father, every stony heart will be made of flesh, Father, in the name of Jesus, that they will begin to feel again, God. They will begin to live again, Father. Renew all hopes, Father. Renew all visions on tonight, Father. Renew all dreams, Father, in the name of Jesus, Father. Father, even let the prophetic go forth, Father, in the name of Jesus, Father. Father, that will give them directions, Father. For you said the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, Father. Order our steps in your word, Father. For your word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path, Father, in the name of Jesus. And Father, we ask that you release your fire on tonight, Father, to burn up every mindset that is not of you, Father. To burn up every sin and every shame, Father, in the name of Jesus, Father. Father, burn it up right now, God. Consume, God, what's trying to consume us, Father. Father, overthrow it, Father, right now in Jesus' name. And Father, we thank you, God. We thank you in advance, Father. We believe, God, and we receive, Father, everything you'll say, everything that you're going to do, Father. We receive it right now in the name of Jesus, Father. And Father, we thank you, Father, in advance. And Father, we give you the praise, Father. We give you the honor, we give you the glory, and we give you the praise, Father. And Father, we thank you for the garment of praise on tonight, Father. In the name of Jesus, Father, we thank you for restoring joy, Father. In the name of Jesus, God, we thank you for redeeming, Father. We thank you for restoration, Father. In the name of Jesus, God, we thank you, God. We thank you, God, for being a God of grace and mercy, a God that's more than enough, God. A God that loves us when we're unlovable, God. A God that loves us when we're sick, Father. A God that keeps our hand in his hand when we're ready to give up, God. Father, we thank you, God, that you are a healer, that you are a deliverer, that you are a way maker, God. Father, we thank you right now in Jesus' name. And Father, we give you the honor, we give you the glory, and we give you the praise. And we say, have your way tonight, Father, like never before, God. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.
Please visit the website www.itsallaboutyoumagazine.com. That's www.itsallaboutyoumagazine.com. To be placed in a magazine, get an ad, newsletter, or article. Publisher Tiffany Thompson also has a ministry. Visit that site at www.itsallaboutyoumintl.org. That's www.itsallaboutyoumintl.org for more information on events or speaking engagements.
Taking a family of five to the amusement park can cost a small fortune.
Oh, yeah. So to save some money, we thought, hey, let's bring the amusement park to us.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
All right. Step right up. Step right up, young man. Are you ready to ride the Wacky Waterfall?
That's just the bathtub with the shower head running.
Nope, it's the Wacky Waterfall.
It's the shower, Dad.
Waterfall.
Wacky.
There's an easier way to save. To get a free rate quote, go to geico.com. Then buy online, over the phone, or at your local Geico office.
I'm not satisfied with just getting by. I like to get ahead, and that's why I carry the prepaid Visa Rush Card.
I get my pay deposited directly to my Rush Card, so I never have to pay check cashing fees ever.
And I get access to my money up to 2 days early, which comes in handy.
Plus, my prepaid Visa Rush Card makes it so easy for me to pay bills and shop online.
You can use your Rush Card to get cash or check your balance at over 23,000 MoneyPass ATMs nationwide with no fees.
And I can use it everywhere Visa debit cards are accepted.
Why just get by when you can get ahead?
Thanks, Rush Card.
Get your Rush card right now and we'll refund your one-time card fee, a value of up to $9.95. Call 1-877-319-7243 or go to rushcard.com now and use promo code THRIVE. 1-877-319-7243. Limited time offer. Don't delay.
Do you need or know someone that needs advertisement at an affordable rate? Well, you've tuned in to the right place. Get a commercial for as low as $30. That's right, $30. Find out more info. Email us at westernworld1@yahoo.com. That's westernworld1@yahoo.com.
Hey, man, are we back? That was powerful prayer there. We need that.
Man, we need God every day, every second, every minute, and every hour. We need God. And I think, you know what, I think we got to get to that point to really know that. Because sometimes, you know, God will revive us from a thing or restore us from something. And we'll, you know, go on our way. And after a while, we'll think we did it, you know. We don't think we are right now, you know. We don't have to go back to him. But God wants us to seek him daily. He wants a relationship, you know. It's not a one-time thing. It's not a thing that when I'm in trouble. But he wants to see our face and hear our voice, you know, every day when we're in trouble, when we're not in trouble. Actually, he wants us when we're at our best, you know, when we're at our best.
That's right.
And sometimes, you know, we'll stray away from that. You know, I'm guilty. We all have done it, you know. We all fall short. Nobody's perfect, but we strive daily for perfection. So that's why I thank him so much. I'm just so grateful for this night. You know, I'm grateful for every Wednesday night. Even last Wednesday, I felt so bad. I really wanted to get on, you know. But I had not been feeling good in my body, and it actually had been like that for the last few weeks. I just kept pressing because I believe in just trying to be consistent and persistent in everything that we're doing, you know, especially when it relates to the kingdom, when it relates to God and his people. You know, you don't know who this word is for. You know, you don't know who needs to call in and share, you know, their testimony or what so, you know, to help the listener, you know, help the one that's listening. So I really hate it, you know, not to be able to tune in and get on the show. But the honest to God truth, I needed that bread.
Amen.
I really did. I needed it. So I'm grateful, well rested. Man, been at a few conferences, man, being empowered, wow, just blessed. God is still on the throne. He's still blessing his people, but we got to seek him. We got to go after him. We got to go after him like never before, you know. And sometimes, you know, things such as work and everyday life sometimes try to wear us out, tire us out, get in our way. That when we get off work, shoot, we just want to relax, you know. We don't feel like going to Bible study. We don't feel like going to prayer. You know, we don't feel like going. That's the flesh. That's the body. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak, you know. And we just got to press. We have to press our way. We have to press our way. We all are human. God, he knows. He understands. He came down here wrapped in flesh. So he knows. You know, he came as a demonstration to show us that, you know, we can do it, but we can't do it without him.
That's right.
Cannot do it without him.
Well, what our Father do? What is today's topic about?
Well, today we're gonna come from the Book of James. Yeah, we're gonna come from the Book of James, and what fell in my spirit is being in a season of being broken, being made humble. You know, submitting yourself unto one another, and just mainly God, being in a place where sometimes you don't know, you're trying to think to yourself, what is going on? But you know you're just being made humble. You're walking in humility and you're just being broken. And then being in certain, you know, relationships, certain atmospheres, you know, certain things that bring on, may bring on a brokenness. But God, what I hear is it's just time to be made whole. It's time to be made whole. You know, we always talk about healing. We always talk about God, the healer, the deliverer. But God also wants us whole. And sometimes it's like, I'm writing this book, and this book is called The Process. And what I'm talking about in this book, what I use as my process was wine, how wine is being made, how it's just being crushed, how the grapes are being crushed and smashed, and, you know, and that's how we feel sometimes, like when things hit us one after another, back to back to back, it's like a crushing, you know, a dying. It's like sometimes it's like you're about to die, you know, and it's like a crushing and a crushing and a crushing. And then while they're making it, you know, you're placed in all type of containers and a holding place for so many months. And then they come back and look at it and it's just like our life. You see it's not ready. And he said, okay, I got to crush it again. You know, you see some grapes in there that didn't get crushed, you know. And
right.
Here it is, you thinking after sitting in this holding place for a while, I should be ready now. But as soon as you come out, an incident comes, and you react in the flesh that lets you know, I ain't ready. And it's like you know God's going to throw you back in the holding place.
Yeah,
and
that's
here
right.
Comes some more crushing. Here comes some more, you know, and that's the process of our lives. You know, I don't want to give y'all too much of my book, but yes. Yes, it's called The Process. Yeah, so that's where I come from with James. And we're going to go ahead and get started. I'm not reading from the King James. I'm reading from the King James, but it's the New King James Version. So it's not, you know, it's not the, it's the modern. It's not the, the other time, okay? More modern. Okay, I'm going to start with verse 1. And this is James, of course, we know that wrote it. But he's saying, James, a bondservant of God. He's introducing himself, just basically saying who he is, and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad. Greetings. My brother, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith, with no doubting. For he who doubts is like a wave of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. Amen. Amen, Father, I just want to ask you to anoint my mouth, my heart, my mind, my ears, Father, to hear and say everything, Father, that you desire me to say on tonight. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
As I'm reading verse 2, he said, count it all joy when you fall into various trials. Now, that sounds like a hard thing, don't it? Like counting joy when you fall into various trials. You have some people going through a marriage. You have some people going through having altercations at their job. You have an altercation, they have their kids might be acting up. Bill might be doing something, being turned off. And here it is, James is saying, counting all joy. Knowing, verse 3, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. So this right here, verse 3, lets you know what's going on with your life. This is what's happening. God is testing your faith. Why? Because he's producing patience. Okay. Trial, you mean to tell me everything I'm going through, he's just testing my faith? When it seems like he's not there, when it seems like he's not coming, when it seems like he don't hear me, when it seems like he's not answering, when I don't feel him, when I'm praying and I can't get an answer, when I'm in pain, my body is aching and I'm praying and praying and praying, and God is not responding. But yet, the word is letting me know he got to be right there because he said, I'm testing your faith. Trying, well, he didn't say try. I'm testing your faith to produce patience. So in other words, somewhere down the line, we are impatient. There's some impatience that God is looking at, that he sees that apparently he's not happy with, right? And sometimes change brings on trial. Because change doesn't seem like it's all the time good. Change don't feel good. And we can say it, we can pray it, we can whatever, however we want to put it, but change don't feel good.
That's right.
Going through a divorce is a change. Because you were with a mate, and this is who you are with, this is who you're used to. Every day, same routine, you know what to do for this person, that person knows what to do for you. You know, because you've been with this person, then all of a sudden, here comes a breakup. Things happen. Trials come. Tribulation come. And you all come to an agreement to where this is not working. And you decide, I'm going to go my way and you're going to go yours. Now, here's where the change is. Now that you've made that agreement, when you go to bed at night, you wake up realizing some things have changed. I'm not waking up next to this person anymore. Change. It's an uncomfortable feeling because being with that person that you are, that you're familiar with, it's like a comfort zone. You know this person. You're used to this person. But now you're waking up by yourself. And now you got to get used to this. I got to get used to this change. I got to get used to this. You know, the breakup could have been because of abuse. It could have been verbal, mental, physical, emotional abuse, whatever kind of abuse it was, or whatever reason you decide to go your own way. Because you've been with that person for years, you can become immune to that. You can become immune to that abuse. You can become immune to the point where you miss it. Because now you're dealing with loneliness. Now you're dealing with being by yourself, an uncomfortable place. And I know you're saying, well, how is this related to this scripture? Trials and tribulation bring change. Bring along trials and tribulation, and trials and tribulation bring along change. Comes with it. if you might be changing jobs, going to a new place. You're not used to those people. You don't know those people. You don't know how this operation flows. You don't know how this workforce flows. You don't know how this boss reacts. You know, you're used to the other boss. You already know how that boss is going to react when you walk in the door. You already know what this boss is going to say because you've become familiar. You've been with them for a few years, so you know them, and they know you. And so now when you walk into this new place and you're 5 minutes late with the new job, and that boss want to pull you in the office when at the old job you walk in 5 minutes late, they didn't have anything to say because you already knew this person and you already knew they were going to let you be okay with that. And so now the new boss is pulling you to the office, which is bringing to you a trial or a tribulation, a test. God is testing you, testing your faith. And because they ask, you know, they ask you, okay, I need you to tighten up. You only been here 30 days. You know, you've been late 3 times. They're watching you closely. And all of a sudden it frustrates you. And the reason it frustrates you or frustrates your flesh is because, man, I was able to do this at the last job. They weren't acting like this.
Right.
He's testing you, bringing on patience in you. And sometimes another thing is we can be impatient with one another. I have children that, man, can send me through the roof. And sometimes I know it's one of them that Lord knows can get under my skin, Jesus, if you say one word. But God allows that to happen until the patience that he's looking for in me is produced. I'm going to keep on allowing this person because it's, apparently, it's something in you that God is after. And the thing about God is he wants us to recognize that thing that he's after. Because the minute you can recognize it, the minute either you can either say, hey, I know he's trying to work patience in me, but oh well. Or you can say, God, take it out. Every time this person says something to me or do this or that to me, this rises up. I know you're trying to do a work in me. But Lord, take that out. When we confess it, recognize it, acknowledge it, and then confess it, I believe God is pleased with that. And he can take it and heal you, you know, and deliver you from that thing. So the next time that child or that boss or whoever it is, that friend comes with that same attitude, you'll notice your response is different. Your reply is not the same. You will know you've been strengthened in that area. But also know on to the next test. Because he takes you higher and higher. He takes you higher and higher. I want to go on to the next verse. He said, now, but let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. If, okay, I'm going to use this now myself as an example on this one. I'm like, okay, God, okay, you got me doing something new. The radio show, it was so uncomfortable for the first month or two. You know, it's like, oh, wow, God, you know, nervous, don't know what to expect, you know. Then you have ministry on this end. You know, I do a few events every now and then. Well, and then on top of that, you know, I still minister to people on a daily basis. People call me for prayer, or we call each other, or we just may end up in a conversation and just talking, encouraging one another, building each other up, sharing, pouring in. Then we got our own daily jobs where there's different characteristics, different nationalities, just everybody's different. One person reacts this way, the other one reacts that way, the other one responds this way, the other responds that way. It's like, wow, really, you know. And here it is, you're saying, man, God, and then you come home. And you're working on a book. You're working on this and you're working on that. And you're saying, man, God, how am I going to find the time? This person vexed me. This person or that person or whatever vexed my spirit. That didn't, you know. And God is saying, I want you whole. I see some things in you. Because sometimes we can be so quick to point the finger at the opposite person and say it's them. It's easy to point. It's easy to point the finger and say, well, it was her, or it was him, it was them. He shouldn't have said this, she shouldn't have said that. It's how you respond and it's how you reply is what counts to God. Don't we so focused on what he going to do to the next person that said or did this or that to us, till he's saying, I don't like your response. Look how you respond. Look how you reply. That's what, that wasn't what I was looking for. And the answer should not be, oh, well, you know, oh, well, God. No, the answer should be like, you know, we should be coming in agreement with God and be like, yes, you're right, Lord. Forgive me. I apologize. Heal me from that. Deliver me from that. What made me reply like that? What's in me that made me respond to that person that way? Is it still some bitterness down there? Is it still some anger that I thought was gone? Is it still some unforgiveness that I thought I forgave? What's in me that makes me respond or reply, even if the person is speaking in ignorance? What's in me that made me reply that way? Because right. Certain things don't have to be entertained. And I'm saying because I'm guilty of it, even on today, as a job. And our job is a rough place. I'm telling you, if you want to be tested to see if you say that's one place to be. Man, sometimes I have to crack a joke every now and then. I'll tell him, I say, yeah, I have to ask God in my faith when I leave y'all. You know, we be laughing or whatever. We just crack all the jokes. But at the same time, you know, one of the coworkers, he got upset today over to us with something that was so little. And he cussed us all out. And I respond. Because the name he called us, I turned around and was like, oh, you're not going to talk to me like that. That is not my name, and you are not going to talk to me like that. I'm going to say what I want to say. You know, when I should have just looked at him, turned around, ignored him.
Wow.
Because God is my defense. God pays back. He fights our battles. But that was something in me. Because, let me tell you, I was a fighter in the street. I was a fighter in the street, and I'll fight in a minute. Whether I'm getting beat up or not, you know. But God wants to take that fight. And that warrior that he sees, and he wants to turn into a spiritual thing. He wants you to fight in the spirit, not in the flesh. Prayer should have went forth. Because I kept saying, I'm going to pray in this office. Y'all keep on acting up today because they just act up. If y'all say one more thing, I'm going to bust out and start praying. And the chaos, it got so chaotic. Until it went on, you know, the enemy kept on and kept on and kept on until he can push a button. I'm trying to push her button. All the other tests I was passing. Except when he got to that one. When he turned around and called up some curse words, I'm like, you're not talking to me. You know, went back and forth. You're not talking to me. You're not going to call me that because that's not my name. Oh, yes, I am. Instead of looking at the fact that this person is angry, upset, I don't know what's in that person to make them react or respond the way they did. But it's not me to It's not for me to see why they responded. God is saying, now why you turn around and respond like that?
That's right. Yep.
Why you turn around trying to defend yourself? If he's my refuge, he's my fortress. He fights my battle. He repays, not me. And I sat there for a while, and I was like, man, God, wow. See, I just laughed. Like, man, you got to take this out. Take it out, you know. Take this out. Because the old Tiffany, what a fault. I would have fought. And I'm so glad that the old Tiffany didn't rise up.
That's right.
But Summer Tiffany did. Even if it was, you're not talking to me. You know, the old Tiffany would have probably went toe to toe, jumped up and all that, but it was still something left that he needed me to see. It was still something left that he needed to need me to acknowledge.
That's right.
And I was like, wow. And then I'm thinking to myself, Father, I ain't got nothing against this young man. I don't know what he's going through. What he's going through here, at home, or whatever. I don't have nothing against. Actually, I love him as a brother. You know, as a coworker. I always tell him, I'm praying for you. I always tell him that. I'm praying for you. I'm praying for you. And I'm not going to say any names. But I always tell him that, you know, when I see him. I'm like, you have me worried sometimes. You too young. I always talk to him like that. I'm praying for you. I always let him know that. But you know what? Sometimes the enemy always try to use the people that he know you're praying for to attack you so that you will not pray for them anymore, so that you can get in your flesh and be angry at them and with them. In your flesh, I bet I don't pray for them no more. You know, even though I didn't say that, but I have done that in the past. When all the time is to lift that person up. I don't know what that person was going through when they walked through the door, how their day was, how their night was, how their morning was, you know. But he said, I'm working patience. I'm producing patience in you. Because if patience was all the way there, I would have been patient with him. That's my revelation. Even in his frustration, even in his reaction, even in his curse words, whatever words he was saying, I still would have been patient, a little more patient. He said, let patience have her perfect work that you may be whole, complete. God wants us so dead to the world, to the things of the world. He wants us so complete. He wants us to be made whole with no nothing, no bitterness, no angry, because apparently it's still some fight right there saying, okay, no, you ain't going to talk to me like that. Why? Because somebody's talked to me like that in the past before. You see what I'm saying? You're not going to call me with somebody else call me. So guess what? I need God, heal me. Heal me and deliver me. So the next time somebody call me a word, it won't move me. That's when you know you're all the way whole. It won't move me. I won't flinch. But I'll go directly in prayer. Instead of saying I was going to go in prayer, I should have went in prayer. Because at that point in time, the attacks wasn't on me.
Wow. You know, you are breaking it down, because just to, you know, elaborate just a little bit of what you were saying, you could have turned to him and said, my brother, count it all in joy when you fall into various trials.
Right.
That was number two. Then coming off of that, now you've been tested off your faith.
Mm-hmm.
And then you go into four. But let patience have its perfect work.
Mm-hmm.
Then you could turn around and smile.
Yep.
Wow. you can't tell me that that these words that we have don't follow the guidelines of life of today. Just breaking that down with just a simple at the work with an employee.
And you know what I said today? I said, God, I know you're finna make me expose it. But see, I'm not fake. I'm and I'm not perfect. If anybody's life I could preach, it can be mine. I can't tell anybody about Dennis. Trials, his tribulation, what he's doing, what he's been through, what he's going through. I cannot describe Dennis's pain or Dennis's joy. But I can. The Bible says, who will lay down a life for a sister or a brother? Who? We say, yes, God, yes, me, use me, God, use me. When people say, use me, they're thinking about that old microphone and that old platform, you know, and how it looks so good to be up there. And God say, okay, you want me to use you? Okay, I'm going to use you. You say yes. Yes, Lord, I say yes. Okay. Now, can I have your husband finna go cheat? Your kids finna go sell drugs? Everything around you finna go haywire.
Wow.
You said use you. You gave me a yes. I'm about to use you. I'm about to anoint you through all of these situations, through every one of these trials, through every one of these, the tribulation, every test. I'm about to anoint you. I want to see, can you still trust me? When your child is acting up, when your child went out and tried drugs, when your child went out and went to jail 2 or 3 times, and you know you taught them better than that. You know you didn't expose them to any of that. But yet, that's the way they went. And it hurts because that's your child. That's your seed. That's your blood. When the husband that you thought you were going to be with for the rest of your life do a whole 360 and go into a total direction. When he go from sleeping in the bed to sleeping on the couch. Yet, can you still trust God? He's testing you. Because we're so quick. Yeah, God wants us to pray for our husband and our children and everybody around us that we're having these tests and trials with. But he really working on you. While you saying, work on him, God. Get him. He really working on you. Because there's some things in you that he want to take out. We're saying, God, take me to the nations. God, open doors for me that I may go here and I may go there. And God said, okay, I'll do it. But first, I got to put you in a holding pattern and see if I can get you to sit down for a good 7 years. Let's see if I can get you to sit down under a teacher and be taught, sit down under a pastor and be developed. Let's see if I can sit you down. Can you still give me a yes? Because I want all of that out of you. We've been in the streets. Some of us, not all of us. Some of us have grown in church, you know. But I'm going to speak for myself. I didn't grow up in church. I made a drop-by churches every now and then. But all the way until my adult years, to my 30s, is when I really got saved. So imagine what did I do from a child to 30, 33 years old, 34 years old. How did I live? Like a hoodlum. He got to go back all the way to childhood and clean and purge us and pull all that mess out of us, deliver us, sanctify us. Because we get saved and think all our troubles is over. Oh, I'm saved now. Mm-mm. Yeah, but look how you responded. Look how you just cursed out now. I need you to go back in the holding pattern. I need you to go back.
Right.
I need you to go back in the furnace, the fiery furnace. And I'm going to turn it up 7 times hotter because I can tell when God can turn the heat up on me.
Come on.
Because he still sees some impurities. I want to make you whole. Submit to the process. This is the process that you're in. Submit to this process. I'm taking you somewhere. The Lord told me some years ago, when I get done with you, you're going to look like me, you're going to walk like me, and you're going to talk like me. And I never, at that point, I was still married. Didn't have an idea of what he meant. Not a clue. You know, all happy, yeah, I'm going to look like God. You know, that zeal with no knowledge. God said, I'm going to look like him, I'm going to walk like him, I'm going to talk like him. When he looked down, he wants to see himself. When he looked at me. But guess what he was looking for? Ain't no love in you. You ain't loving. You don't even love yourself. You're not even a lovable person.
Wow.
God is love. His name is love. That's his name, love. So when I look down, if I don't see love, he said, love your brother as you love yourself. Man, some of us, if we look at how we love ourselves, we'll go back to the holding pattern on our own. God won't have to throw us in there. We'll go back in there on our own saying, Lord, God, did you just hear what came out of me? No, Lord, make me over. Make me over. He wants to see himself. God is love. He's loving. He's patient. He's kind. He's gentle. He's meek. He's all these things. And as Christians, sometimes we're not. We're not. And we all need to be refreshed and revived, you know, but we have to go before him to get another dose of love and strength. God, if you have to pour your love in me, you got to give me something that I've never seen, something that I never had, which is love, which is you, and it's your spirit. Give me another double portion of your spirit that I may be able to love the unlovable. Amen. Amen. Wow.
Amen.
Then he says in verse 5, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally, which is free, without reproach, and it will be given to him. If we're lacking wisdom, if we're not wise on how to answer or reply to a person or on a situation of, you know, place, he said, come to me and ask for it. I'll give it to you freely. But then in verse 6 he said, but let him ask in faith that when I ask God for this thing, he's going to give it to me. There's no doubt. He said, ask in faith without doubting. For he who doubts is like a wave of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. He said, let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. That's rough right there. Have you ever dealt with doubt? Man.
Doubt,
that's a heavy one right there. He said, if you're a person that's doubting, that don't believe, you double-minded. And he didn't say just in their area, but in all your ways. He said, unstable in all your ways. All your ways. In everything you do, there's no stability. Wow. No stability. Instability in this area, that area, that area, that area. And so if anybody's dealing with that, that's actually the answer right there. If you're wondering why you're not stable, no stability, ask God to replace that doubt with faith.
Well, by faith, that's right.
And that he will give you a single mindset, a one-track mind instead of a double mind. Because he said a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways, not some of it. In relationships, be double-minded. Don't know if you want to, if you don't want to. Don't know if you want to get married, if you don't want to get married. You're unstable. You're double-minded. You want to start a business, but you're fearful. Unstable. Doubting. He said, let him do it in faith. Because sometimes we'll measure things according to our finance, according to our money, according to what we see around us. We can look around us and maybe doubt going to come right in. You know, because what he's saying you can have, what's around you don't look like what he's saying you can have. But he's saying don't look at what's around you. Keep your eyes on the cross. Keep your eyes on me. If I say you can have it, then that says it. If God says it, that settles it. Keep your eyes on the cross. Don't be double-minded.
Wow.
I'll move for you. And the reason is because the reason I won't move for you is because you're double-minded. He said, for let not that man that's double-minded. Let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He's a double-minded man. So in other words, if we believe in God for some things, and we're dealing with doubt and fear, because torment is attached with fear. Because as soon as you're fearful, you're tormented by that fear. That devil whispering in your ear all night, all day, tormenting you with that fear. But I bind it right now in Jesus' name, and I release a single mindset, a one-track mind. I come against the spirit of schizophrenia. I bind it right now in hand and foot in Jesus' name.
Amen.
He said, let that man think he'll receive anything from me. In other words, I'm not doing it. I only move by faith. I don't move by your money. I don't move by your attitude, by you pouting and crying. That don't move me. Faith is what moves me. That's what moves God, faith. So we're praying that God just drop down on us even tonight, those that's listening, even myself, you know, another portion of faith, momentum, strength, power, stability. Faith is a gift, and I decree and declare that God will give it to us, and he'll take us higher and higher in our faith. That when someone stands right before us and say one thing, our faith will look at them and respond and say the opposite. That's the type of faith God is looking for. Wow.
Yeah, they did it. You know, those are the spirits of the gifts. Right. Knowledge, wisdom, understand the spirit, and prophecy, right? Wow.
He said, wow. It's the faith that's going to move them. Our faith. Just by faith. By faith, I come on the radio station. Every Wednesday, by faith, me and Dennis get on this station by faith, believing that whoever is on this station will get blessed by faith, trusting God, that if it's nothing but one caller or one listener, that person's life will be changed for the rest of their lives by faith. I want to go over to verse 12. Same book, James chapter 1. I want to go to verse 12. He said, blessed is the man who endures temptation. Wow. For when he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to those who love him. Wow. He said, blessed the man who endures temptation. Even though you attempt it on every side, you go this way, you're tempted. You just say you're a holy man of God. You're single. You're saving yourself for your wife. You know, you're working a job that may not be paying a lot of money, but it's just enough for you to keep your apartment. It's a studio or whatever it may be, and you're just making it. But here it is, and I'm using a man because men are more tempted when they walk out the door than I believe any of us, because they have to. It depends on what area you're in or where you live, or where we're at. We're in Chicago on the west side, and you got it on the south side, and then some of it is on the north side. I don't know too much about the suburb, but it's a lot of stuff they're not allowing to happen out there. But I'm speaking in reference to drugs and gangs and just standing on the corner and drinking and shooting dice, smoking weed, you know, and so forth. Here it is, that man is working a job. Let's say he's 23 years old, working a job, saving himself, has never had a woman, saving himself, believing God, going back and forth to church, but yet he's tempted. He's being tested because the money he's making is not enough. It's barely enough to cover the rent. It's barely enough to get him a bus pass to get back and forth to work. And yet he walks past these drug dealers on the corner every day in these sharp cars, dressed from head to toe, pockets full of money. And he's looking and saying, these people look like they are prospering more than me, and I'm in Christ. And they out here living how they want to live, you know, temptation.
Right.
And yet every day they speak to him, they introduce themselves to him. You know, they've even stopped and had a few conversations with him. And before you know it, he's tempted. He's talking to him, standing there talking to him, probably really trying to minister to him and everything. But his witness to them is pretty weak because you walking, we driving. What is your God doing for you? You know they do ask them questions. You know that, right? Your God, then you walk, and they flashing all this money, and before you know it, those little seeds that they done just said and start going in his head as he's going to work and coming home every day, he's walking saying, listen, and the devil playing that over and over in his mind, your God letting you walk. Your God letting you walk. Where's your God? Unless he has the power and to cast down the thought and not entertain it. He's tempted. And just say he passes that test. He endures. Glory be to God. Thank you, Jesus. He endures that. But then he hasn't had a woman. He's been desiring a wife. He's been praying for the last 2-3 years. God, send me a wife. God, send me a wife. Now, here it is. A woman approaches him. You know, seemed to be sweet, seemed to be lovely, pretty, you know, got a little going for herself, but she's just not the one. She's she wants to come to his house. She want to come in because, you know, these days, I hate to say it, but these women is throwing themselves on the men more than the men even chasing them. And she's asking more and more and more every day, can I go, can I come, when you going to let me visit, when you going to let me in? Until one day he decides, you know what, God, it looks like you're not going to answer me. Maybe this is your answer. Double-minded. The enemy that came in. And he decides to let her in. You know, and I'm just speaking in reference to enduring. And the pressure, the peer pressure that's on this earth, the peer pressure that we walk past and go through every day. I live it and go through it too. I used to party. I used to love to party. Probably go to the club 2 or 3 days out of the week. But here I am, I'm at work and I'm sitting around people that party all the time, and I listen to their conversations and listen to how they party and listen to, you know, what did you do at the party and how they act and this, that, and the other, you know. But I'm strong in my faith now. You know, I'm not moved. It doesn't bother me. It doesn't bother me at all. I'm no longer tempted. But some years ago when I first got saved, I was still struggling in that area. So we have to make sure that we are rooted and grounded in Christ. But he said, blessed is a man who endures temptation, for when he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to those who love him. People go through and they save themselves because they love God. They love God. They don't walk around like it's a rule and a regulation. It's just that man. I know God wants the best for me. I want the best, you know, or whatever. Or whatever the situation may be. I ain't drinking because, you know, man, that ain't something I want to do. That's not my lifestyle anymore. It's not that I think I'm better than you or you, you know, or you're beneath me. No. It's just that I've been there and I've done that already. That's just me. I'm not judging you. Because people will take it different and say, you know, you think you're better than everybody else. Oh, don't invite her because she's not going to come. And you'll be surprised. I'm strong enough.
That's right.
But at the same time, I'm going to discern any invitation. I'm going to pray in reference to the invitation. I am. Because I'm asked the question, do you smoke weed? Because I don't want to be around smoke. I don't want it in my nose. I don't want it down my whatever open area in my life. I don't want it going in me. That's just me. I'm not knocking you. But I'm going to pray for you. Even if you think there's nothing wrong with it, that's okay because that's your mindset right now. But because I've been there and I know what it'll do to you, I'm still going to hold you up before God. I don't have to judge you, but I'm going to just hold you up in prayer. The different temptations. And that's what I'm talking about. How we're tempted on every side. Every time we walk out the door, we're tempted by something. We have to be strong. What makes us strong is the Word of God, prayer. Prayer, the Word, and fellowship. And we have to come to church, meet some people, exchange some numbers. When you're going through, that's what I started doing. At first, I wasn't a people person. I'm not saying nothing to nobody. That was me. But when those trials and tribulations started coming, I started going to those sisters who were stronger than me in God. And I'd go to them and talk to them, and they started to pray for me. And then they'll say, here, call me. You know, when you're going through, call me. And I was calling, crying, weeping, crying, whatever I was doing. I started calling those sisters, and I seen that they were genuine. Because sometimes we can come from the street and think everybody likes somebody on the street. Because some sister hurt you on the street. I'm not finna get caught up with that. You know, I'm not. No. If you see that on that person, then just keep going. But if God sends someone to help you, receive the help. Somebody wants to pray you through. They don't want to talk about you, your situation, your family, your life. They don't want to spread it all over the news. Maybe they've been there. Maybe they're experienced in that area. That's all, you know. And so I want to go on. He said, let no one say when he is tempted, I am tempted by God. For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he himself tempt anyone. You see that? So when we're tempted, we can't blame that on God.
That's right.
Oh, God must be testing me. I'm around his weed. No. Mm-mm. You knew that person smoked weed when you got in the car with them or you went over their house or whatever. He ain't tempting you. Why would he tempt you? And he know that's a weakness for you. If that's your weakness, quit trying to prove to somebody you're strong. Quit trying to stay friends with people. If they really your friend, they'll understand. And they'll let you go on. Instead of, man, you acting funny, man, you can't ride with us. No, I can't, not anymore. I'm not strong enough. You know, a lot of people were very disappointed in me when I first got saved. Because for the first good 5 years, I didn't go around a lot of people. And I said a good 5 years. That's how long it took me. And I was in church probably four days out of a week. But that's how much stuff that was in me that needed to be out. I needed to stay before God. I needed to stay on the floor weeping and crying and going through deliverance. Whatever it was that I needed to do, I need to stay before the Lord to be purified. Because even in my loneliness, feeling lonely and feeling like I'm the only one in the family going to church, I'm the only one seeking God, I want to be around my family. As soon as I go around, what I do, I pick up a drink right along with them.
Wow.
And my son, I have an older son. At the time, he was probably like 13, 14 years old. He'll tell me, as soon as he see me pick up that beer, he'll say, I thought you ain't drink. I knew that was the Holy Spirit using him. I would be so mad. I would be so mad because guess what? That's my son. I'm the mama. You don't say nothing to me. I'm just saying, I thought you said you don't drink because you didn't tell everybody you don't drink. Conviction, not condemnation, but conviction.
That's right.
Because he said there is no condemnation, but he was convicting me because of my witness. I was around people that God wanted saved. He wanted their life, and he wanted me to be an example. He just, at that time, I wasn't even strong enough than I thought I was. So I went through that, you know. And I'm quite sure we all have, off and on, here and there. But I went through that season. Now I'm okay in that area. Now he's working on some more areas. And you're just thinking like, man, when did this process end? You know? Like, wow, God, all that was in me, and it's still some. All you do is throw your hands up and say, okay. Understanding that as long as you're on this earth and you in the flesh, you're going to go through some things. There's going to be some things you're going to have to endure. There's going to be some trials and tribulations that, man, that you're just going to have to go through. It's going to be some changes that has to be made. It's a must. It's a must. He said, verse 14, but each one But each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desire and enticed. In other words, God said, I'm not tempting you. That's the stuff that's already in you. And you're drawn by that. You're drawn away by your own lustful desires. That's some things, that's some stuff in you that you desire to do anyway. I'm not tempting you. So he corrects us. He set the record straight. Even if you do it, it's not me. That's just some things in you. And you just have to ask me to take it out, you know, bring it before me, and, you know, in prayer, that's all. But he's letting us know, that's not me. That's doing it. I'm not tempting you. But then he talks about verse 15, then when the desire, that thing that's driving us, has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And when it is full grown, brings forth death. So the thing about it is, it's just really taking everything to the throne of God, just taking it to God, whatever we see in us, because ain't nobody perfect. If they are, please show them to me. Please introduce them to me. Because the thing that I find is a lot of sinners, they don't want to come to church because they feel so out of place. They feel out of place. They know everybody's staring at them because they dress different. They're looking different. You know, they may be sitting different. They don't know. They have to be trained like you were when you first came in, right? When I first started going to church, I didn't own a skirt. If I owned a skirt, it was a mini skirt. I wasn't in church. That wasn't my lifestyle. That's not, I dressed according to my lifestyle. I dressed according to how I lived. So I went to clubs. I dressed according to my atmosphere. So all I had was mini skirts and Daisy Duke shorts. That's what I wore. That was my lifestyle. But the Bible says when you are in Christ, you are a new creature. Behold, all things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. New mindset. He's talking to the inner man when he's talking about the newness. New thoughts, a new mindset, a new way to think. And what I love that the church I was at, they didn't bother me. They did not bother me. They didn't come pulling on my skirt saying, you know, pull this down or you can't come in, or they ain't come trying to wrap me up like no money. As I sat there long enough and I kept coming, I started feeling naked. I began to get convicted on my own. Because now he's dealing with my heart. My heart now understands this wasn't how I was supposed to have been living. This is not how I was supposed to have been dressing, revealing my body, revealing my flesh, revealing my cheeks, revealing my thighs. And I'm like, oh, wow. You know, when you become into the knowledge of God, you have to let God work on people. Because right now we have people working on people when people are not God. But we have to let God work on people. But as I kept coming, before I knew it, you know, I was like, wow. Then I have a beautiful aunt. I prayed, and she didn't know this. I didn't have any clothes for church. But I was running the church probably 3 or 4 days a week. I'm telling you, I was on fire. There was a zeal like never before. God answered every last one of my prayers, everything I thought he'd done, everything I said he'd done it. I mean, he was talking to me through billboards everywhere I went. Me and him was having a conversation. I was just happy in the Lord. Then all of a sudden, I was so excited. I'm like, I don't have any clothes. I want to go to church tonight. I don't have any clothes. I don't have nothing to put on but some shorts. And I'm like, wow. And before I knew it, you know, I had an aunt. I have an aunt. She lives in the state of Mississippi. She sent me so many suits up here. All I can do, I mean, me unknowingly, did not know she was about to do it, didn't know she was going to send it, didn't say nothing. And they were all sharp suits, nice, beautiful. I cried like a baby because I wanted to be in church and I wanted to be in there comfortable because I had come into the knowledge of Christ and I understood that I'm naked. Kind of like Adam and Eve. They didn't have that knowledge until they allowed the serpent to trick them to disobey God and eat from the tree that he asked them not to. That tree that revealed knowledge that also revealed to them, oh my God, I'm naked. To the point where they had to grab leaves and cover themselves up because they understood they were naked. And as I kept going, I began to cover up. Because he was working on the inside. And the outside began to represent how the inside felt. Amen. The outside.
Amen.
Begin to show. It starts to show. What I'm going to do, I want to go to a commercial. I want to take some calls. If any listeners are on, if you want to, I would love to hear your testimony or your words of encouragement or anything, your remarks. They don't have to agree with me. I'm not here for you to agree. But I will. I'm most definitely going to ask you to take it to the Word. Show me in the Word. I don't have no problem with that. But I would love to hear any remarks, if there be any comments, any questions. I want to take a small commercial break, and we can come back, and we're going to continue to share. Amen. You ready, Dennis?
Absolutely.
Okay, go right here. Commercial.
Please visit the website www.itsallaboutyoumagazine.com. That's www.itsallaboutyoumagazine.com. To be placed in a magazine, get an ad, newsletter, or article. Publisher Tiffany Thompson also has a ministry. Visit that site at www.itsallaboutyoumintl.org. That's www.itsallaboutyoumintl.org for more information on events or speaking engagements.
Woo!
Do you need or know someone that needs advertisement at an affordable rate? Well, you've tuned in to the right place. Get a commercial for as low as $30. That's right, $30. Find out more info. Email us at westernworld1@yahoo.com. That's westernworld1@yahoo.com.
If your furnace broke down, would you call an expert rapper?
Woo! Your furnace broke down, now everybody chilling. From your head down to your toes, you got no feeling.
Yeah, no. You'd call the real furnace experts. Service experts. You'll get a written 100% satisfaction guarantee. And right now, get a free service call with any repair. Call Service Experts Heating and Air Conditioning at 866-EXPERTS. That's 866-EXPERTS. Or visit serviceexperts.com. Visit serviceexperts.com for license information.
Taking a family of five to the amusement park can cost a small fortune.
Oh, yeah. So to save some money, we thought, hey, let's bring the amusement park to us.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
All right. Step right up. Step right up, young man. Are you ready to ride the Wacky Waterfall?
That's just the bathtub with the shower head running.
Nope, it's the Wacky Waterfall.
It's the shower, Dad.
Waterfall.
Wacky.
There's an easier way to save. To get a free rate quote, go to geico.com. Then buy online, over the phone, or at your local Geico office.
One-time home repairs, where we are rehabilitating America's one home at a time, specializing in remodeling, full kitchens, and bathrooms. Also, a 24-hour emergency handyman service for electrical and plumbing issues. No job is too small. We do it all. All it takes is one call. It's 773-698-5720. Ask for LB.
The Western Worldwide Network has never been easier to connect with Blog Talk Radio, Facebook, Twitter, and WesternWorldwide.com. Until now, by using our mobile app, just log on to www.WesternWorldwide.com and click yes to the mobile app. That's it. That's all. One button does it all. WesternWorldwide.com.
I'm not satisfied with just getting by. I like to get ahead. And that's why I carry the prepaid Visa Rush Card.
I get my pay deposited directly to my Rush Card, so I never have to pay check cashing fees ever.
And I get access to my money up to 2 days early, which comes in handy.
Plus, my prepaid Visa Rush Card makes it so easy for me to pay bills and shop online.
You can use your Rush Card to get cash or check your balance at over 23,000 MoneyPass ATMs nationwide with no fees.
And I can use it everywhere Visa debit cards are accepted. Why just get by when you can get ahead? Thanks, Rush Card.
Get your Rush Card right now and we'll refund your one-time card fee, a value of up to $9.95. Call 1-877-319-7243 or go to rushcard.com now and use promo code THRIVE. 1-877-319-7243. Limited time offer. Don't delay.
Amen. We're back. Okay, if anybody that's just coming on, we want to thank you for listening. But we're speaking on the book of James, chapter 1, and we're talking about being made whole. If you're in a place of brokenness, if you've ever been broken, which is also just in a place of feeling vulnerable and walking in humility. We want you to know to just be encouraged. God is making you whole. He's pulling out all impurities. He's purging you with hyssop. He's washing you clean. And just submit to the process, because that's what it is. It's a process. Just submit to the process.
That's right.
Also change.
Right. Also, too, if you want to say something, I'll press the one button, and I'll definitely bring you online. If you want to ask Tiffany Thompson some questions, or if you have something you want to elaborate on in the Bible, some scriptures, what was your favorite scripture? Your favorite verse on the Bible. And what I'll do is this. You know, I'll break the ice. Okay. My favorite part was when he said, but let patience have its perfect work. Just that right there.
Mm-hmm.
Let patience have its perfect work. Think about it.
Mm-hmm.
When you don't say nothing, you're being perfectly still. When you don't do nothing, can't nobody say you did something.
Right.
And when you just slow to the work, can't nobody say you did it.
Right.
We've been patient. You know, and it's perfect work. If you perfectly still, come on, man.
Right.
Okay. And then it goes into that you may be perfect and complete.
Wow.
Peace be still.
Perfect and complete.
Don't they say when you trying to be complete with yourself, you got to be as one? Sometimes you have to go in that closet, see that face. Your body's getting complete. You're not lacking in nothing because you're giving it all to him. He's taking all your troubles. Wow. Look at that. Let me do this really fast.
Okay. Let me see here. Hey, you see the demons always try to pull it, don't they? Every time you try to do something, the demons always try to pull it with you. But that's okay. But anyway, like I was saying, just perfectly still, perfect in faith. Wow. You know, what I was trying to elaborate on it is when you say you lacking nothing because you're definitely seeking him. He's telling you when you have patience, can't nobody say or justify that you did it because you slow to whatever the situation is in hand. Wow. That is deep. Okay, I'm bringing you in now. Wow. So what I'm going to do is this. I'm going to take some calls. Oh, go ahead, Sister Tiffany. I know you were saying something.
You got ready to reply or respond to something, like I was saying today. There's been times where God would just, when you get ready to open your mouth, it's like he'll take your tongue and stick it to the roof of your mouth, and you can't say nothing. No, it doesn't matter what the person did, and they could have hurt you to the core. But you want to say something, you just, it's like your mouth, you can't even open your mouth. And you just have to take it. And he's saying, take it. Take it. Be quiet. Take it. It's me. But you're saying, man, God, you're going to let them say this to me? You're going to let them do this to me? You're going to let them treat me like this? But he's working patience. But yeah, he's saying, that's how I'm working my patience. With the one you don't want to deal with, the one you don't want to talk to, the one you don't want to put up with, the one you keep dodging, that gets so on your nerve, I'm working patience in you. That's what I'm doing. All those trials and those tribulations, and you say, man, God, this person won't leave me alone.
Somebody hit that one button on patiently, too. You ready to bring in? Want to bring that person in?
Sure.
You're going to love this one. They might tell you you're out of rap. We got Sister Tiffany on the line. How you doing?
All right. Hey, Dennis. Hey, Tiffany. How y'all doing?
I'm fine.
I just want to first of all say I was kind of in and out the whole show, and I think it's very, very uplifting that two young people that actually went through a whole lot of trials and a whole lot of tribulations has given their life to God. And not only giving your life to God, you're putting it on everybody else. Right now, I'm just listening to you guys. I am so inspired because you have touched so many aspects of my life, a relationship, laying there wanting to get up and leave and don't know how to do it, being scared what you're going to do when you get out that relationship. But I'm here to say right now, I am in such a happy place in my life right now because I believed in God. I took that step.
Amen.
And, you know, Tiffany, I play all day. Dennis, I talk all crap to you, but honestly, you guys just really, really put some on my heart, and I just want to thank y'all. I swear I do.
Amen.
Amen.
And I'm going to be honest.
I love you.
I read the Bible. Sometimes I don't even know what I'm reading. I just ask God to give me the wisdom and give me the patience. And I would love to see if you just sat down sometimes with me and went over some things to help me have understanding. I'm not going to stay on the call long because I have to finish up my appointment, but I just want to thank you guys for really just putting a lot on people's minds. And these young people, they need to listen. They need to listen. They need to call in. Like you said, closed mouth. The devil's going to keep your tongue. He's going to keep you quiet because he don't want you to learn.
That's right.
But I'm encouraging people that's on this phone to call in, ask questions. If it's something that you're scared to ask, call them up one by one. I'm sure that they're going to help you guys get over some of the obstacles that they went over, some of the obstacles that I went over. Like I said, I got to go, but I love y'all both, and I'll see y'all tomorrow. Make sure y'all on time.
I love you.
I love y'all. Hey, I got to go. I'll talk to y'all later.
Okay.
All right, now.
All right.
Wow.
Wow, that was moving.
That was very inspiring. Wow.
I got another call for you, too.
Okay.
You want to try to elaborate on that there, or you want to just bring it in?
Just bring it in.
Okay. And this is where I get my wisdom and knowledge and understanding from here. This is my spiritual leader right here, Tiffany.
Okay.
Pastor Moore's on the line. How you doing, sir?
Praise God. Praise God. I'm doing good. I'm excited about the program. I'm excited about what I'm hearing. I feel the presence of God in the voice of Sister Tiffany. And
thank you.
I'm just enjoying the commentary on James chapter 1. I, too, have been in and out, but the parts that I kind of heard was encouraging. If I can, Sister Tiffany, one thing that I know is happening in the world today is relationships on every level is under attack.
Yeah.
From boyfriend to girlfriend, from brother to brother, sister to sister, mother to daughter, father to son.
Yeah.
It's under attack. And
yeah.
It's encouraging to hear a testimony of how the enemy will use us or use that person to cause strife and conflict and anger in a space where it's really not needed.
Yeah.
And the only way we can fight a spiritual war is going to our Father, who has already given us victory, that
yeah.
He may clear our minds and set our hearts right. And so, and I'm just say this last thing, and then I'll listen to the commentary. In the book of John, Jesus told his disciples, "Peace I leave with you, peace I give to you." And one thing I try to do when I feel that conflict is in the air or strife is in the air is go and read that scripture, because it's encouraging to know that our Master told us that He leaves us peace.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
if we got to get to that level of being in that place of divine peace,
yeah.
And once we get there, the things of this world.
Mm-hmm.
What won't affect us as much, you know, as we allow it to. And then he comes
mm-hmm.
back in John 16:33. He says, "These things I have spoken to you, that in me you have peace. In the world
yeah.
you have tribulations. But be of good cheer. I have overcome."
Yes. Okay. Yes.
The world, and I believe what we experience is that we haven't gotten to a place in Christ
mm.
that allows
yes.
us to walk in victory, regardless of the situation or the circumstances.
Yeah.
And look at this world and say, you can't touch me because I'm covered. you can't discourage me because I got joy that the world didn't give to
me. Come on.
And so as long as we can get to that level in Christ, get to a level where we find peace in the midst of a storm. We get to that level where we find joy at a funeral. Help me right here. And so if we can encourage people that we can't make it without the Word of God, we are going to experience troubles in this world, but if we don't go to the Word of God, where God can be found, then we don't know how to handle it. And we might, there's a lot of people contemplating suicide and to get out of their situation, contemplating giving up and just doing everything negative to get out of their situation, not knowing that there is a right way of doing it. And that right way is seeking God first. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. And so we have to seek God first. And then the scripture says, all of these things shall be added unto you. And so if we can get people and encourage people to come to God, and I'm glad that young lady said, Tiffany, if you can help me understand what I'm reading in the scripture, and what I heard in her voice was, she was saying something is drawing me to the word, however, I don't have the person there to interpret properly for me, so I'm reaching out to you that you can encourage my soul that I might understand that which is drawing me to the book. And so I thank God for this arena. Brother Dennis has always been a soldier on the battlefield. I praise God for him and allowing God to use him to touch people in this way. And so stay encouraged, my sister. You know, regardless of what you're going through, in your commentary, let people know that you got victory in Jesus Christ.
The
blood has washed away any worries and doubts and concerns that you have. If that person wasn't the person for you, God got something better.
When
he closed one door, he opened another door.
Open another one. Come on.
You know, I just encourage you to keep on going. Pick up your encouraging voice and allow that Holy Spirit that dwells on the inside of you come across this phone and hit people dead in their hearts. That tears come up and well up on the inside of them because of your testimony. So keep doing what you're doing, Brother Dennis. Keep doing what you're doing. And I'll try, if I can, if I'm not busy, to tune in to hear how God is using his people for his glory.
Amen. Thank you so much. To God be the glory. You just blessed me, man. Wow. Thank you. And I really, really appreciate him taking the time out, especially in leadership, and holding the capacity of leadership that he holds, to just take the time out, listen, tune in, call in, and encourage. Not just the listeners, but encourage those that's doing it, us. So I'm grateful for that.
Hey, you got enough time for one more call. You want to take that one last call then?
Yeah.
Bring them in. I ain't even going to back in.
Okay.
Hey, caller. 708-546 number. How you doing?
Hey, man. How you doing this evening?
Amen.
Amen.
Hi, Sister Tiffany. This is Sister Shirley calling.
Okay. Hey, Sister Shirley. He didn't scream and call, so that's like how I know. How are you?
I am fine. And isn't his name Brother Dennis?
Yes.
Oh, hi, Brother Dennis.
How you
doing? I enjoy both of you all. You know, like your other caller has said, you're young and everything, and been through some things, and now God is ready to use you. And just like that pastor was saying, that the testimony even that you gave tonight, Tiffany, that high rumors bring tears up in somebody's eyes, and it make them think. And I was just listening to you. I think I got in about almost 8 o'clock when you was elaborating on James, the book of James. mm-hmm. and you was going through the scriptures and everything, and then you was talking about how God, when you was even had the zeal for church and the clothes you used to wear and everything, you didn't have anything to wear, and how you used to dress and everything out there in the world. And see, even that right there is a transition from how you used to be to what God is bringing you to. See, he take layers off of us. And when you were saying that, I thought about myself. I saw myself through you. I say, I remember when I first started too, I was wearing them clothes that we wear out in the streets, and, you know, the little short skirts and the tight dresses and the blouses with the cleavage showing and all that, because that's what we was used to. And
right.
And when we come up in the church, you know, some churches ain't like it used to be in the olden days when the mothers was really mothers, and they would pull you to the side and try to tell you, you know, cuff you mm-hmm. up and tell you how to dress. They just let mm-hmm. you come on in. And you sit around, but I thank God for the Holy Ghost. The Holy Spirit, because that's his job. When that Holy Spirit really gets a hold to you, I mean, stuff will start coming off. You'll start covering up. The skirt will start getting longer. And you get conscious of where you are. You're not at the club no more. We're not in the streets no more. We in God's house. And with God's in God's house come a certain reverence that we have to reverence for.
Right.
You know, and that reverence getting us. That's why I say some people go to church, but church ain't got in them yet.
That's
when
right.
church
that's
really
it.
Get in you, it will do exactly what it's supposed to do. It will turn you around. It will change the way you walk and talk and dress. When God really get a hold of you, then your whole life changed. And then you was talking about how you go around your family. See, I was in that predicament not too long ago. When you go around your family and they still smoking, drinking, and sitting at the table with them, you might be playing cards with them or whatever. You know, I love my family. And when I come around them, I remember my auntie, when she got saved, they used to reverence her. You know, they knew she didn't like smelling they smoke no more, so they wouldn't try to smoke in front of her. They knew she didn't mm-hmm. she didn't drink no more, so they didn't offer her alcohol. You know, they tried to keep it from her. And they, you know, certain things they didn't do in front of her. But they still would want to drink, you know, and smoke all around, even though smoke is tearing my nose up now. Because when God
but
took
you
it
know,
from me, he took the whole taste of it out of my mouth. I couldn't even stand to smell smoke no more. So I know God did that thing for me.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, being around them, I remember I still would pick up a bottle of cooler or they would pour me a shot or something. And sometimes you're sitting there and you just be talking, you'd be happy to be around them, but then you're still thinking about the goodness of God. Or you could be on just left church and come around them, and, you know, you're still thinking about the goodness of God. But you'll find yourself somehow you'll reach for that glass, or you'll reach for whatever in that bottle, and you'll drink it because you're sitting around them.
That's right.
And I remember I started getting convicted of that thing. And I'm like, okay, why is I doing this? I didn't even like the taste of it no more. And I was a party type of girl. I used to stay out in the streets 7 days a week and more if they was more to go to the different spots and the clubs and everything. But then, like I said, when God get a hold to you,
yes.
You know, all of that stuff.
Yes.
Old things do pass away, and behold, all things do become new.
Amen.
But dealing with that temptation of that thing, and you was hitting on that tonight, that's just where we, you know, the temptation of it is so strong that sometimes it'll pull you back. But then if you get anchored, the anchor started getting in you. God ain't going to let you go that far before he tug on you and pull you back. Because he is not going to waste nothing he invested in you. Get away.
Hey, man, Sister Zika, I know we want to let you say it all, but we got to do it in decent and in order.
All right.
So, man, we thank you. Praise God.
Yeah,
man,
I thank God for that testimony she gave, because it was bringing tears up in my eyes, because I was like, because now God got me, you know, I don't go around them as much, but I still come, I have to come around them, but now I'm in the come around in a different light.
That's right.
You know. You know, it's like,
you know what, not,
can God see, we got to be a letter made for Christ. Can the people see Christ in your life? That's that young caller, that young lady that called you. She sees something in you. She sees that in you. That's why she's thirsting and hungry for it and asking you to help her understand the scriptures. How can we teach
right.
somebody something that we ain't got there yet ourselves?
That's right. That's right. Amen. You know what?
Amen.
And this is what I want to leave you with, too, because I know you said that there with that temptation. One thing that caught me was, and this is my favorite part, and I'm going to go back to it. But let patience have its perfect
work. Its perfect work. And when you said that, I had to write that one down, because that's the one right there.
Amen.
The work that he is doing inside of us
that's
has
right.
to have its perfect work.
That's right. Amen.
Amen. I appreciate you, Sister Shirley. God bless you. Thank you so much for calling and sharing your testimony and letting us know what, you know, what enlightened you, what touched you, you know, and what encouraged
mm-hmm.
you. And I hope that, you know, whoever's listening that is doing the same for them in Jesus' name. We have, but we're going to close out in prayer.
Amen.
We got a few minutes left, and, you know, I always want to close out in prayer. I open up with God. I want to close out in God. Amen. Amen. Hello?
Amen. And then, before you close out of prayer, I want to ask you this.
Uh-huh.
Can I play some instrumental behind, or you want silence? What you want? You know, you're chewing me out.
It's okay. It's okay. I ain't going to chew you out. Hey, but I want someone that's listening. I want to share this one more scripture. And they can write it down and read it and meditate on it or whatever, elaborate on it. Or if you need me to go back over it again next week, I will. I have no problem with it. If you know me personally, you know, you can call me and I'll still labor with you, it, however you want to do it. But it's 1 Peter chapter 4. 1 Peter chapter 4, starting at verse 12. And I want to read this. And this will bring a lot of revelation to some of the trials and tribulations that we all are going through, because we all are going through them, okay? He says, "Beloved, do not think it strange concerning the fiery trials, which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened to you, but rejoice to the extent that you partake in Christ's suffering." Ain't that something? Your trial
right.
is allowing you to partake in the suffering that Christ suffered in. Then he said that when his glory is revealed, you may also be glad with exceeding joy. You see that? You get a part to you get a chance to partake in his suffering and partake in his joy. Verse 14 says, If you are reproached for the name of Christ, blessed are you. You hear that? If you're going through for Christ's sake, blessed are you. For the spirit of glory and of God rest upon you. On their part, he's blasphemed. But on your part, he is glorified. We glorify God in the things that we go through. Even though we go through I don't know what and back, we still in church lifting up our hands. We still telling somebody every
right.
day God is good, even though we hurting, even though we going through. We still saying, God, you still get the glory. God, I ain't got no money, I ain't got no gas, I ain't got no food, but you get the glory. God, they attacking me, they coming from left and right, but you still get the glory. God, I'm laying in the emergency room, but I still believe you. You get the glory. Verse 15 says, "But let none of you suffer as a murderer, a thief, an evildoer, or a busybody in people's matters, nosy people and other people's business. He said, yet if anyone suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God in this matter. There's no way that we should not be glorifying God in everything we go through. Instead, I'm talking about me as myself. I get weak sometimes and want to give up and throw in the towel. But all I got to do is get around a saint that's on fire or call somebody that's on fire that pray me through, and I'm back on fire right along with them. And I'm knowing I can make it. I can go to another day. I can take this thing that whatever the enemy's throwing at me, I can take it. I'm knowing I'm going to be all right. So we're going to go ahead and close out in prayer. I just want to leave that, leave somebody and myself with this scripture.
Amen.
Because though we're going through, God is with us. We suffer with him, and we will reign with him. But we got to be willing to suffer.
Amen. You know my favorite scripture, right?
What?
Okay, I'm going to tell you my favorite scripture. For the people, but let patience have this perfect work. Amen. You know, go ahead on.
Amen. Father God, we just want to thank you for tonight, God. We thank you for every listener, God. We thank you for the ones that called in, God. We thank you for Sister Tina, God, who called in, God. Oh, God, we thank you for drawing her, God. For you said no man can come to the Father except he be drawn. So, Father, we thank you for the drawing, God. We thank you for, God, doing a new thing in her life. We thank you for Sister Shirley calling in. We thank you for the pastor that called in, Father, to encourage us even the more, Father, to stay, Father, on the wall for you, God. Father, we thank you for every listener, God, that did not press one, but, Father, that is encouraged, Father, that may be, Father, going through, God. But, Father, God, I believe that tonight, Father, that they will go through like a real soldier, that they will go through like a true soldier, understanding that they're suffering with Christ, God, that as they suffer with you, God, that they will reign with you, Father, in the mighty name of Jesus. And, Father, I thank you for them, Father. I thank you for their lives, Father, even now, God, even the man at the job on tonight, Father. I pray, God, that whatever he was going through, that he's encouraged on tonight, Father, that all frustration, hurt, anger, pain, Father, whatever it is he's going through, Father, that, but God, that deliverance will chase him down, God, that he will, God, submit unto you, Father, in the name of Jesus, God. And Father, every response that wasn't a godly response, Father, we throw it before you, God. We cast it to you, Father. We throw it at the altar, Father, in the name of Jesus, God. Action that you cleanse us, Father, that you purge us with hyssop, Father, that we may be clean, Father, that we may be whiter than snow, Father. In the name of Jesus, Father, Father, we thank you, Father, for God even considering us, Father, to, Father, suffer for Christ's sake, Father, in the mighty name of Jesus. Father, we thank you, Father, that you took the foolish things of the world to confirm the wise, Father, in the name of Jesus. God, you took that drug dealer, you took that alcoholic, Father, you took that prostitute, Father, in the name of Jesus, Father, and you changed their lives, Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, Father, and what the world called foolish, Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, Father, you made them a liar, God, in the mighty name of Jesus. And Father, we thank you for it right now, God. Father, we ask that you go in every house on tonight, Father. Father, that you cleanse it, that you purge it, that your angels be released right now in the name of Jesus, God. Father, we release your fire, Father, in the name of Jesus, to burn up everything that's not like you, God. Father, we release your arm, for your arm is strong, Father. Father, we release your word, for your word is sharper than any two-edged sword, Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, Father. Father, we thank you, God, for the deliverance that went on tonight, God. We thank you that deliverance is their portion, Father, that we thank you that deliverance shall chase them down, Father. We thank you that our hunger for righteousness, Father, is what, Father, the people are after and what they need, Father, in the name of Jesus. Make us all hungry, Father, hungry for you, God, hungry to do the right thing, huh, Father, hungry to live the right way, Father, hungry to walk in the right manner, Father, hungry to respond, Father, the way that it will please you, Father, in the name of Jesus. Father, we thank you, Father, right now in Jesus' name, Father. I thank you for Dennis, God. I thank you for what you're doing in his life, God. I thank you, Father, in the name of Jesus, Father, for blessing him, Father. I thank you for the witty inventions and the ideas and the creativity that's on his life, Father. In the name of Jesus, Father, continue to encourage him, Father. Order his steps in your word, God. In Jesus' name, Father, let him continue to walk in obedience to you, Father, to your will, to your word, and to your ways, Father. In the name of Jesus, Father, bless his family, Father. Bless his children down to the 40th generation, God. In the name of Jesus, Father, bless his seed, Father. In Jesus' name, Father, Father, we thank you.